on for over 9 years now.
Yeah, and this was weird because I had not heard of it at all until we did the Amy Bechdel case like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. But apparently it's been around.
Yeah.
I had no idea what it was, and now I feel like it's coming up everywhere.
Yeah, I watched the documentary on it. So there's a series of books that he has written, and then he produced and did a documentary. And I think there's now two parts where it's Missing 411 and then Missing 411, The Hunted.
Yeah, I think there actually is a third one too, but I don't know.
So he essentially writes that different accounts that happen that occur and happen in national parks, rural areas, and large reserves of public land, so like state forests and state park reserves. So all of his accounts rule out murder, parents and partners who have done it, animal attacks, falls, natural causes, and other usual cases of death and disappearances in national parks.
So are they all solved, or these are just his ideas?
Mostly unsolved, and then okay. He never gives his idea or theories on what has happened. He just states the case, states the facts that he knows, and leaves it at that.
Yeah, okay.
But so it's definitely not like he's not doing anything that's clearly like someone fell and died, someone died of exposure, someone like their husband or wife shoved them off a cliff.
Yeah, he just presents the facts.
Yeah.
Got it.
These were cases.
Is Jacob Frey in there?
No.
Okay, sorry. Just keep going.
Although I wouldn't be surprised if I got to one and it was him, because there were a couple ones I read and I was like, this one's fascinating. It sounds familiar, and I've already taken notes on it. And I was like, oh, that's why it's familiar. Like,
oh,
I did
okay.
It already.
No, Jacob Frey is just one that I was going to do, and then I got distracted by a different one. So we'll see if it comes up.
All right, so this is the first story that I earned.
Or Gray.
Sorry. Yeah, the first story we're going to do is the one that just chilled me to my core. Like, it is just like, whoo, like, if it's fake, it is the best written story I have ever heard in my life in terms of, like, it's good.
Is this the one with the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Cappy.
I don't know much about it. I just know that, like, 411 is associated with, I think, this case.
There's a couple of ones with kids, but so this one is Mount Shasta, California, October 1st, 2010.
Damn.
So I never got a full name. The name kind of changed, and it was also John Doe, but a three-year-old was camping with his mom and dad. Like I said, at Mount Shasta, California, in like a larger campground near a creek.
Yeah.
So at approximately 6 p.m., Joey and his parents are sitting by the fire, and all of a sudden, Joey disappeared into the woods, or like disappeared, assuming that he had gotten into the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
For 5 hours, for 5 hours, the parents are searching everywhere. And after those 5 hours, they find Joey, and he is undisturbed and on a path about like 500 yards or 500 feet away from where they were sitting, completely unharmed and...
At their campsite?
Yeah. And so it's a path that they had, like, gone over, like, probably a dozen of times. And was kind of, like, in the base camp area of, like,
yeah.
Where, like, the main point, like, where he had gone missing was. And he had just shown up on the trail again.
Well, at least they found him. Wait, he wasn't dead, right?
He was completely fine.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Totally fine.
Or is
so
he a ghost?
So a couple weeks later, he's visiting his grandma, who goes by Cappy. And the little boy goes to his grandmother and says, I didn't like the other Cappy. And she's like, what do you mean? He's like, the other Cappy, I didn't like her. She was really mean. Like, I hope she doesn't come back. Like, don't let her.
Oh my God, this is giving me.
And the grandma's like, what the fuck? And then she like goes to the dad and he goes, did he mention the other Cappy? And he goes, yeah, it was just something in the woods that he saw. And she goes, I wouldn't say this, but I need to tell you this thing that happened to me exactly about a year ago this time, October. And she tells him that Grandma Cappy was in the woods with a friend and that she had gone camping and she had pitched a tent. Her friend was in a camper for the night and they were out at the fire and two like big red eyes were staring at them as they were sitting by the fire. And every time they flashed a light on it, like it just disappeared. So we're like, all right, whatever.
Mothman.
It's probably just a deer, like some wildlife. And they go into their tent, like respective tent in their camper. And then they wake up out of their tents, out of their sleeping bags, laying face down in the dirt right next to each other with two large puncture wounds on the exact same place on both of their necks. And where she went camping was in the exact same spot where her grandson disappeared.
Interesting.
So the little boy account, like we said.
Wait, time out. The little boy saying the other Cappy gives me strong Coraline vibes. You know what I'm talking about?
parents. I think I've seen it, but I think it really freaked me out. So I was just like, oh, I don't like this movie and don't remember it.
She like crawls through a hole and then it's like the same or like, I don't know. It's like another universe, but everybody's kind of the same, but they're like, they have buttons for eyes and stuff and they're like creepy, but they're like better there. But then it turns out that they're actually like crazy. Yeah.
Scary. So they go back to the little boy and have him describe what he saw when he saw the other Cappy. So he said that an old woman who looked just like Cappy and had the same hair was over at the fire and waving at him to come into the woods. So he went after to, like, go see his grandma. And that she brought him into a deep cave, like, cut pretty far into it, where he saw a bunch of women's purses and spiders. And then he said he knew it wasn't the Grandma Cappy because and the little boy said he knew it wasn't Grandma Cappy because the creature started being really, really mean to him. And then after he wouldn't use, like, go to the bathroom on on the ground for them, they kicked him out, and then, like, the bean became, like, a huge, like, reflection of light, and it was, like, almost looked robotic.
Weird.
So that's the 3-year-old's account of it.
How many magic mushrooms are growing by this campsite?
What was this little boy taken? What was he ghost with?
This is grandma and this little
kid. So that's the Grandma Cappy story. That one freaked me out.
Like, weird. Yeah, that one freaks me out. That I seems don't like alternate the other dimensions Cappy. Kinda. Yeah. There's a lot going on though. It's like, is it vampires? Is it aliens? Is it
like did this creature, beings? Like spider creature, like imprint on the grandmother at somehow, like at some point, and then came back when it recognized, like, oh, this is my, like, lineage or something. I don't know. That one's wild. Like, for her to go to the same campsite a year before and have that weird encounter.
And that kid's still alive?
Yeah.
Weird. Now watch his, like, cousin have the same thing or something.
So the next case is Dennis Martin, who was 6 years old in June of 1969. He was wearing a bright red shirt when he and his brother, along with two boys from Louisiana, they had just met, like, in the woods camping.
Classic.
Yeah.
People you just met.
We're, like, hanging out in the woods as they were all hiking along the Appalachian Trail. And so the boys decided to plan, like, a sneak attack on their, like, basically all their dads that were, like, nearby or, like, walking behind them. So, like, they all were like, okay, you do this, you do this, you behind this tree, like, you go behind this tree and we'll all jump out and scare them. So boys all do that, and the dads are all like, okay, cute, they're all like going or whatever, and they see Dennis in his like bright red shirt go behind a tree, and all the boys jump out, and then after a few minutes they realize Dennis never jumped out, so like, all right, Dennis, joke's over, like, come on out, but he's just completely gone. So they start searching, spoiler alert for a lot of, I'm gonna say start searching, and the search begins like a million times, like,
yeah.
It's what happens in these stories.
Just that'll be the name of the episode: start searching and the search begins.
They disappeared and a search begins.
And these are all 411 stories, or I feel like
all connected and like just like missing. These are all like, yeah, missing 411 stories. Some of them are from the documentary specifically. Some are from the YouTubes that are on the hit front based on his book. Some are from his books directly that are based on the articles and other like crazy stories. I also have a Minnesota connection, one of a teacher that got kidnapped. A teacher who died in Idaho.
Okay. Yeah, this just sounds like such like creepypasta or whatever, like how Slenderman started. Like, it sounds so, yeah, I don't know. It's like movie vibes, yeah.
I know, all of these could be a movie, or like any of these could be a movie.
Yeah.
So all the, the fathers and the boys that were there, because they were all there for like a Father's Day hike or like an annual Father's Day, and I think this was the first year that Dennis was like old enough to come and join them.
Wow, this is literally a classic movie.
So they were like a couple of like almost like 10 miles out or so. So by 9 p.m., that was when the dad was able to get to the ranger station from where they were to go get help. So from 9 p.m. and on from 9 p.m. that night for the next week, like multiple weeks, a search from up to like hundreds of people, including Boy Scouts, National Guard, and 71 Green Berets, searched the Appalachian Mountains for Dennis or any of his remains. After 7 weeks, the search ended. And Dennis was declared dead.
And they just never found him?
Never found him.
What?
So, that one I saw on the 411 Reddit page, which like kind of had a bunch of links to all these different stories. So this is from a Reddit user, 007 stars ZZZ. So this kind of gives a theory to what might have happened to Dennis, or like what might be happening to a lot of these stories, which is about, what is the word? Feral people or feral men?
Oh, don't. I fucking hate feral people. Oh, my God. I know. Before you even get into what you're getting into, one time I, like, had a Red Bull, like, at, like, 8 p.m. or something like that. And I
equivalent of, like, 3 Adderall at some time. Yeah. Sometimes.
So I literally was I was just laying in bed and I could not fall asleep. It was, like, 2 in the morning and I lived alone at the time. And I was just scrolling on TikTok, minding my own business, watching these funny talks. And then this one girl I go to this TikTok about this girl who said she saw a feral person in Africa, and they were like super pale white and like rushed across the street and were like, I don't know. And she's like, we don't know what's in like the deep jungle, like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. Like now I'm not going to be able to go to bed. And like my door is open. And I'm like looking out of it. I don't know.
I do get really scared. Like I wasn't scared while I was out camping, although we stopped at a rest stop with the RV and it was like midnight or so. And I was a little sketched out. Like my dad came to the bathroom with me. Like, we went together, and I had my knife, and I, like, had it out, and it was, like, behind, like, I had it, like, in fighting position as my dad went to the bathroom, and I held my dog, and I was, like, take my knife, and I saw my dad do, like, the same thing of, like, yeah, this knife is a good idea as we're, like, sitting out here.
Yeah, well, feral people are scary, too, because, like, that's way more realistic than, like, aliens or something. Also, on a side note of being scared, so, season 3 of You just came out, the serial killer TV show, and I was in a hotel last night, and I forgot something to go to the gym with. God, oh, it was my headphones. So I went to the elevator and then I was like, oh shit, I forgot my headphones. And I walked back to my room and I was like, oh gosh, what if I'm being stalked right now? And the person who's stalking me is like in my room right now because they expected me to be gone for a while. And I'm like, wow, I've watched too much scary TV. I like slowly opened my door.
You're so forgetful. But that's what I like about you, Sean.
Yeah, I didn't check under the bed. Goddamn. We know that's where Joe always hides.
Yeah, I love season 3. Did you finish?
Oh, yeah. I loved it.
If you haven't watched it yet, skip through for the next 30 seconds. He did my girl love so dirty. I loved her so much. And she just did what she had to do, but she killed so many people.
Dude,
the anti-vax episode was a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot. But I liked her. Like, I started to get really annoyed of Joe. I was like, okay, can you stop being, like, obsessed with new people or like keep moving on? Like she was trying so desperately to cling on to their marriage and he was just,
I know,
like
they introduced the librarian like 4 or 5 different times and like it was clear that he was going to go for her, but I kept being like, who is this again? Like when did this happen? Like I thought she didn't like him.
It didn't seem the same as all the other obsessions.
Yeah,
it seemed forced, but whatever,
super forced. So but it was so good. I love that show.
Wait, more theories, sorry. We can
please.
Yeah, okay.
No, I kind of want to do theories after everyone.
No, of you.
Oh.
Sorry. More important, gonna screw up the edit. But he has a half-brother.
He does?
Right? Who is the little kid that the mom is escorting down the stairs?
I was wondering about that.
That was I'm assuming his half-brother. Or step-brother somehow. You know what I mean? Or some sort of relation. I feel like they're going to bring that in. He's going to be a serial killer too.
Ooh, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll definitely miss Love in the next season.
Me too. And I think Ellie's going to come back. They mentioned her too many times for her not to.
Yeah, they mentioned her a ton. I really liked Theo, though, like her replacement this season.
Yeah, me too. Oh my God, watch her and Theo meet. Oh, wow. That
would be good.
LA, call us.
We will write the next season of You, please. We would love to. So I'm just going to read the account word for word from this Reddit user who said this all very casually. So this is referring to the case of Dennis, which was written like in the comments of it. I'm on the NC side of the Great Smoky Mountains, meaning North Carolina. Yeah. Lived here my entire life. All of us here know what's in these woods and mountains. Since the late 30s and 40s, there have been feral wild men living in these mountains. They are fast. They will snatch livestock and snatch children. The FBI knows. It's why they do not get involved. I've heard other stories that there was some attempt to kill these feral wild men, but they still exist, even today. And I'm not talking about some end of the days extremist who took to the woods. I mean feral, completely wild men, their own language, living underground. We do not go into the woods at night. During the day, we make sure to stay on the trails. Sometimes you will smell it, that putrid smell. At night, you'll hear them holler. You'll hear them hollering. Supposed inbreds. That was a really, you'll hear them hollering as a lot of H's and L's to try to like get around.
Yeah.
The locals here know what happened to Dennis Martin. He was snatched by one of the feral wild men. It's not uncommon for these people to go missing here. They are normally found, but you'll be surprised on the number of children that simply disappear. The FBI has covered it up for years. Where do you think the movie The Hills Have Eyes come from? It's true.
It is, and also because, oh, sorry, is there more still?
No, you can keep going.
Oh, The Hills Have Eyes are, like, there is, like, some seriously fucking inbred families in, like, the real rural America. Like,
it's one of my favorite X-Files episodes.
Yeah, like, it wouldn't shock me that one of them left.
It absolutely does not shock me at all.
Yeah, they're barely accounted for as is, yeah.
So this is the last part of it. I hear them from time to time, disturbing sounds. They all live up and down the mountains here in national parks and forests. End of Reddit post. I wanted to say that more like the, you know, the Ken Burns documentaries, like when they read like letters from the war. End of letter. End of correspondence.
Oh, no, I don't. I need to watch more documentaries. Yeah, I mean, that's a totally plausible theory. And I, sorry, I'm like running on barely any sleep, but I don't think I said this yet. There's like weird jurisdiction rules between like state forests and state parks and national forests.
I
have that
on here. Yeah. I wrote a whole thing about sovereign nations.
Yeah, exactly. And then it gets more fucked up because there was the Jacob Gray case is like one of these ones where he went missing in like Oregon, I think. Or where's Olympia? Is it Oregon or Washington?
Washington.
Yeah, so I think it was Washington. And he was like on the edge of one forest and then Olympic National Park. But they were two separate entities. So like the two like things didn't like communicate with each other and kind of like refused to, and it was like this like big like fucking deal to try and get them to work together, try to like organize searches in both of them, because he literally like disappeared on the line of both of them. So like there were, his bike was found on one side of the river, and then there was like kind of things on the other side of the river that showed somebody might have crawled out, and like they were like not like working together. I don't know. It's that's like
terrifying.
Shitty, like they
eventually, or yeah, to say it. Evidence, like we saw them at this side of the park, the east, like western edge, so let's check your eastern edge of the park, like and possibly going north, like we'll check south.
And these people go missing all the fucking time, like literally the same time that this guy went missing. There was a, I want to say a plane crash or something. No, wait, that might be dramatic. But there was something that happened and another hiker went missing on the north side of the park. And they were like giving more attention to that than this guy's and everything. And I'm like, why is it just like super casual for people to be like missing on a daily basis?
I was reading, like I got like through my research, I ended up on some like national park database of what they do have. And it was like 127 pages of like every missing person. Like missing person case, I can read some of them because it sounds like people go missing like hourly at some of these.
Yeah, I mean it's really fucking often. But also, like, have you ever gone off trail at a national park? Because I definitely have. By like complete accident. It's so easy to do. Yeah, I was. Like,
I was just in the Badlands on Sunday, and yeah, I could totally see how you would get like so lost back there.
Yeah, I was at Acadia, and sometimes they only mark it by, what are those things called where they stack rocks? You don't
trail markers, but yeah.
Yeah, there were like trail markers that there were that, or it was like tagged blue, but it was like the blue was like maybe 3 inches wide and like 2 inches tall. And like if you have your headphones in and you're hiking alone and you're not really paying attention, it's easy to like be walking and waiting for that next blue marker and then just like not hit it and be like, oh, maybe it's up here, maybe it's up here. And I went like 10 minutes and then I was like, okay, I definitely am not on a trail anymore. And so I had to like turn around and go back, and luckily I remembered where I was going. And it was like it was like 10 in the morning, so I had plenty of daylight left. But like, yeah, there is, it's very easy to get off trail.
It's, I've done it in the Superior Hiking Trail up on the North Shore. I've hiked that a lot. Like I would say I've done most of that hiking trail, like on through hikes during the day.
Yeah.
And there was one I like camped at Cascade River State Park, which is beautiful. Highly recommend if you ever camp there. And you go up like one of the trails and you can stay on the Superior Hiking Trail and just keep going. So I was going to do that and then come back around. Also, and I got those, to like, oh, go ahead.
Also, those trails are intense. Like, they, me and my dad intense. Did it, and there are certain parts of the Superior Hiking Trail that is like, you go fucking down, and then you go right back up, and it is way more intense than I would expect for northern Minnesota.
I completely agree. So I was doing that, and then I stopped at one of the overlooks and got back on the trail, and I realized that for like 5 miles, I've been following the snowmobile trail, so like it's also marked, but it doesn't have the same spurs or like the burrs or like what, or yeah, I think they're spurs, like the trail markers.
Yeah,
where it's, but for the Spirit Hiking Trail, it's the blue notches in the trees like I painted on.
Yeah,
so I thought I was on, and then also I was like, okay, I'm not on, because I just went to like, what's the, where's the trail, like maybe I just took like a spur trail and like need to turn around. And what I was gonna do is do like a 6 or 7 mile hike, and it ended up being like 12 miles, and my legs hurt so bad, and I ended up taking the snowmobile trail all the way back to like a parking lot, but I was like the wrong parking lot, and then like found my way, but I was like, I'm not getting back on the fucking trail, like I'm not risking going back, because I like went all the way back around and it was at like 8 miles and was back at the overlook of like where I had gotten like misplaced in the first place, because I was like, oh, it'll all loop back around, like it's not that big of a trail. It's that big of a trail. Like, it is so easy to get lost. I 100% get where people get lost in the wilderness.
And also fucking die again. When I was at Acadia, the same time that I went off trail, I like walked and then there was a trail that connected with another trail instead of looping. And I was like, oh, I'll just go further and go on this trail and like go back on that trail.
It's always like, and it loops, it has to loop around. And they so rarely loop back around or like loop back to where you are.
Well, I had a map of this one, but this just basically says that I probably shouldn't be hiking alone. But I went to, so they have like two really intense like rock climbing things kind of there. And so one's called like the precipice and the other one's called Beehive. And it's because it, I
think... Two very different names for precipice being, like, such a cool, like, educator, like, cool name.
And yeah.
The Beehive.
The Beehive is called that because it's like a face of a cliff that you, like, kind of zigzag up, but you kind of have to, like, climb it. But, like, if you're looking at it from the ground, it kind of looks like everybody on there is, like, little tiny dots. And they look like bees coming up on it. But I did it, and there's, like, a part where it's, like, straight fucking vertical right above me. And I can see these people, like, 15 feet above me. I'm like, I know they got up there. And so I, again, the trail is not marked very well. And it's not really a trail. It's more of, like, a, like, path. And I'm like, how did they do that? So I start trying to, like, rock climb on this, like, literal cliff. And then I'm like, okay, this can't be right. This can't possibly be right. This seems, like, way too dangerous. And then I, like, get back down and I look around the corner. And, like, right around the corner, there's, like, metal bars that take you up that way. And I'm like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. Like, I definitely almost just died for no reason. Like, and I'm terrified of heights, but I was just riding some high of, like, I've been hiking for this. six hours and I'm a brave man. I can do it.
That kid's in little Adidas sneakers. I can do this.
Literally. Yeah, no, it was, like, children above me. And I'm like, how the fuck did these kids just scale this wall?
I have to say, though, after getting lost, I am so much better about going on hikes and, like, being, like, like, I thought I was prepared, but now I'm like, okay, no, I read a map, I orient myself as I'm going on, like, the different areas and, like, on my phone. But, yeah, it's so easy to get lost. So, we're going to take a journey to Yosemite National Park and go over some disappearances.
Ooh, I also went there.
Disappearances.
This is just me bragging about being a well-traveled American.
Oh, were you saying you've been there?
Yeah.
The first story takes place in 1981. Stacy Aris was 14 years old and on a horseback riding trip with her father and several friends at Yosemite National Park. After arriving at the Sunrise High Sierra Camp, Stacy cleaned up and decided to take a walk. The young girl asked both her father and another member of the party to join her, but they both declined. Something they have regretted for the rest of their lives.
Oh,
sometimes I hear that on podcasts. I'm like, is that necessary? Like, I'm sure you didn't get that from them. Like, yeah, like.
Yeah. Really, they're just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm glad I didn't go. I don't want to be gone either.
We were listening to a podcast. It was like National Park After Dark, which I really liked. I'd recommend listening to it. But one of the girls was talking about how this guy killed his wife. And it's a pretty good story. But he was saying that he had also killed his first wife, and it turned out his first wife had a life insurance policy that he was the beneficiary of for $460,000. And then like my parents and I stopped and be like, that's not that much money for like the delivery. Like,
yeah.
Like we wanted something a little more.
460
like...
million, kajillion, then... pinky goes up.
And then she's like, and then his second wife, the one that like we're talking about today, her life insurance policy was $1.4 million. And I was like, that one deserves the pronunciation. Like, why go so big on the smaller number?
Yeah. Although I could really use $460,000 right now, not going to lie.
So she was saying that she was just going to walk down to a nearby lake and stretch her legs to take some photographs. She was never seen again. After a comprehensive and thorough search lasting 9 days and with over 100 people, sniffer dogs, and there has to be a better name than sniffer dogs for these things. They are highly trained, highly educated dogs, and I demand for a better name than sniffer dogs.
Yeah, they get a certificate, official sniffer.
Like, we're not calling them, like, I don't go to school for, like, 9 years to become a podiatrist to be, like, a footsie doctor. Yeah.
Sniffer dog, yeah, like a bloodhound. Well, that's just a type, yeah, fuck.
So sniffer dogs, helicopters, and nothing more than her lens cap was ever found.
Like a contact, oh wait. For her glasses?
What?
For her glasses?
For
oh, her,
her
camera.
Camera. So in that same spot where Stacy had disappeared, in 1968, a man's body had turned up in the crevice over where she had been camping in Sunrise High Sierra. And so over where she was going to take that picture over by the lake, this is the lake where the body was found. And after analysis, they were never able to determine a cause of death. And no signs of blunt force trauma or anything to say that he had, like, fallen or anything like that. But he was became known as the Mysterious Man.
Yeah. Do they have, like, theories or do they say anything or no?
Just that there was a random body and they never were able to, like, decide who it was. Which is kind of insane for, like, how much, like, you have to sign in, you have to get a pass. Like, yeah, you can be in the back of a car. But, like, they're going to know that you got into a park, at least now.
Yeah.
So, later in that same area, 1976, Jeff Ates, a little more than a mile away from the gorge where the body of the Mysterious Man was found, had turned up. The 25-year-old disappeared. I ended the sentence and I didn't mean to.
No, that's okay.
So, a little more than a mile away from that gorge where the body of the Mysterious Man turned up, 25-year-old Jeff Estes in 1976 disappeared. After many search efforts, not a shred of evidence or his body was ever found.
Interesting. I feel like it's always in their 20s or children. It's, like, really common.
I know.
I guess, like, people in their 20s are more adventurous, though.
Yeah. And there's another body of Troy Barnes found. Timothy Barnes found in 1988, also near that same pond where that mystery man and Jeff had and Stacy had disappeared, but same thing, where no evidence and nobody was ever found.
Interesting. Do you think serial killer or aliens?
I think more, like, for how big Yosemite is, that it might be cave people, Bigfoot, or feral men. Something realistic. Get your head out of the sky, Sean. Come on. Come back down to earth.
I think feral people is less likely in Yosemite. Yosemite is, like, the most trafficked.
Okay. Actually, we're going to get into this because I was talking about this a little bit at work yesterday. So, with all of these people just disappearing and no evidence ever really being found, I think it's more of a parallel universe sort of thing where people are walking into, like, a land of, like, unknown portals and electrons and neurons and atoms that either send them to a different place, which we're going to get into a couple of really interesting stories on that.
Yeah.
Or, like, they're sending them to, like, another time, or they're, like, there, but they're not there anymore.
Yeah. Like,
because I fully believe in, like, parallel universes and all that, because that's what I think deja vu is. That you're seeing into, like, another universe or, like, another quantum realm, if you want to get into that.
I love parallel universe. I think parallel universe is more likely than, like, space travel, if that makes sense, as far as, like, aliens and stuff goes. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're coming from a parallel universe rather than, like, fucking
up. And I think that's more so what ghosts are as well.
I don't believe in ghosts at all.
I don't really either. I think most of those can be explained, although I've had some weird occurrences in my house. But just, like, ghost, if you're in here, find a better place to live. Like, this is not a house to be haunting.
Find someone better to haunt.
Like, no offense. It's just a little pathetic that you would pick this house. Like, this is a starter home at best.
Low budget ghosts.
You check them out on ghost. HGTV. Millennial ghosts. We're just starting out. So, the next story is about Keith Perkins, a 2-year-old who went missing from his home in Ritter, Oregon. After being outside in the winter playing.
Two?
2 years old.
I have no concept of children. A two-year-old cannot be playing outside in the snow, but maybe they can. I don't know.
Ritter, Oregon's pretty mountainous. So there's a lot of, obviously, like, mountains and, like, high areas around.
Yeah.
But the little boy goes missing and is gone for 19 hours, but later found 15 miles away on top of a large mountain and over, like, a large, like,
oh my god, yes, I've heard cliff. About this. Oh, I hate this. I do not like this. Wasn't there, like, okay, sorry, keep going.
So he had spent the night in below sub-zero temperatures with nothing but a little, like, rain jacket on and, like, very, like, skimpy tennis shoes because he was obviously, like I said, just playing outside. So part of the missing 411 documentary, Survivor Man Les Stroud retraced the steps of the child of, like, what investigators think he did.
I hate this.
And Lee was not, or L-E-S, is that Le? Or, like, Lee?
L-E-S?
Lee. Yeah.
I would say it's Le or Lee, yeah.
Yeah. Les Miserables. Les Miserables Stroud.
Les?
Let's go Les. Les Stroud retraced the steps of the child, but was unable to come even close to doing the hike in 19 hours or up the route that the child would have taken to go, like, straight up. Like, he could not have done it, and he's Survivor Man. He has an entire show about how he's, like, very good at being outdoors.
No, oh my god. This is the one that, like, fucked me up the most, because when I was looking up Amy Bechdel and the Jacob Gray stuff, like, I was like, I heard about this one. I'm like, no, I can't. I don't even want to look into it more because that fucks me up that they could end up that far away without being like,
without any trace of the hike on them or like
being able to be found. Like, I've hiked half a mile
and been like, whew, I'm wounded. How far was that? It's like, how have I gone 0.25 miles and I have to go back? Like, that's not what I just came from.
So the only logical explanation, which maybe you'll be able to like disprove this, but would be an animal dragged him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry to blink.
And did he get
well, because like a cougar would come, but they wouldn't save him. I think that's more of like a Bigfoot took him, or he was like, it's just
wait, he was alive?
Yeah. Oh yeah, the child was alive.
Oh my god,
he was found completely alive.
Oh, I don't remember that part. Or
he was completely okay
on that. Sorry, I was still geeking out about the fact that I knew this one. Oh yeah, that's even creepier then. Oh my gosh, what does the kid say?
Well, he's a
2-year-old. Can 2-year-olds talk? This is what I'm talking about. I don't know anything about kids.
So they kind of little bit, and he said he has no idea what happened, but
he's like, I didn't like my other grandma.
This was the cousin of the other guy, of Cappy, the other grandson. So...
Oh, I don't like that. That is the kind of stuff that fucks me up.
Okay, so now we're going to get into kind of what you were saying of, like, parallel universes and, like, ending up in different places after a long time. And it kind of goes back to, like, one of our first episodes. I think it might have been when we were doing the Casey Anthony, but I talked about the woman who went missing, like, 3 different times and had, like, really bad amnesia and fugue states.
Yeah, it was. It was something that I was doing in part. Yeah, so.
Yeah. So... Stanley Kubacki was a 24-year-old in 1977 and was on a cross-country skiing or like was spending the day cross-country skiing around Lake Michigan. He stopped to rest on the shore of the lake and took off his skis and his poles, set them aside and started to like get some water and to drink or like eat something. Mm-hmm. The last thing he remembers was feeling numb and passing out. He woke up in a sunny, grassy field 700 miles away in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, 14 months later.
What?
Back in Michigan, search team found Kubacki's skis after a few days. All of his skis and gears were in the exact same spot he had left them, and there were only one set of footprints leading towards the water where he was and where his stuff was. They assumed that he had gotten to the water and drowned. There was no official explanation, but it was believed that Stephen had amnesia and was in some sort of fugue state when he made the trip to Massachusetts, despite not taking out any money or ever, like, I don't think they had credit cards back then, but, like, there was no sign of him doing a bus or a plane to get in Massachusetts.
Do you think he tried to escape and then, like, regretted it and was like, I don't remember?
So he says he absolutely has no idea, but later went on to study psychology, ended up getting his PhD in the field. And also has a degree in linguistics and speaks, like, 7 languages and has spent his whole life trying to figure out what happened to him and has published multiple things on the possibility of alternate universes because he thinks that might be what would have happened.
But would that explain the lack of, I don't know.
The lack of time or the time loss. But, like, the Massachusetts is kind of by the Bermington Triangle or, like, the Bermington area. Have you read about that in, like, upper
It's called New Hampshire? Bermuda Triangle, buddy.
There's Bermuda Triangle, but there's also the Bennington Triangle, which is, like, a heavily wooded area in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, where a bunch of people go missing. So I wonder if that's, like, a portal to a portal.
Yeah.
That are possibly moving at different times. Some of them are stagnant in, like, Yosemite and different national parks and, like, different areas that were in former Indian reservations, but areas like the Badlands and some of these other places where the Native Americans would never go and had, like, tales about, like, missing people and, like, creatures in these places.
Okay. Ooh, okay, I'm about to unload a theory that's hopefully I can follow my mental track on this one. So I read a book, if you've never read it, or there's a TV show about it now. It's called American Gods. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, I mean, it kind of has nothing to do with it, but basically, in the beginning of this book, they talk about that there's, instead of, like, normal religion, like God being Christianity God, there are specific holy sites sites that are just considered holy and, like, have a holy gravitational pull, and that's where, like, in America, we created these, like, side highway tourist destinations or things that become tourist spots, you know? So, like, the biggest ball of yarn or whatever, and it was always meant to be a tourist spot because it was technically, like, a holy ground where people felt gravitated towards, or, like, the House on the Rock was mm-hmm. another one where, like, somebody felt like making something really cool there because they were, like, drawn to it. And that's, like, kind of how, like, if this stuff is real, how, like, national parks seem to me of, like, oh, we purposely sectioned off these national parks because they are, like, these, like,
uninhabitable places for long periods of time.
Yeah, or like interdimensional things where like people purposely section them off because they're more dangerous to be holding a whole city in or something. If that makes sense.
Well, like, think about Yellowstone. Like, what if all the sulfur was in there by, like, the government to keep people out of those holes, to, like, not climate them because they were portals to other places? In February 2018, Canadian Danny Filipidis was on a ski trip in New York with his friends. At around 2 p.m., Danny was separated from his group of friends who had gone to go get food in the lodge. And he's like, oh, no, I'm going to go do one more run. And decided to go back and ski for a little longer. By 4 p.m., the runs had closed and the group had lost contact with Danny completely. He was no longer answering their calls or their texts to say, like, oh, yeah, I'll be down in, like, one more run. Meet you guys back at the hotel or anything like that, like he had been previously, like, stayed in contact. 130 people searched the mountains and the surrounding area for him. 6 days later, Danny's wife gets a call from an unknown number. It was Danny, who was incoherent and very confused with no idea where he was. She told him to hang up and call 911 right away and ask them for help. 911 calls the wife back and says that he's at a car rental portal in Sacramento. Or like a car rental.
Yeah, don't say portal.
Not with a lot. Okay. No, I've ever heard of. So 911 calls the wife back and he is at a Sacramento airport rental car depot. Still wearing his full ski gear, holding a brand new iPhone with a fresh haircut and no recollection of what happened and was never able to explain what happened. When people would ask him, he would get really emotional and completely unable to explain because he was so frustrated that he had no idea what happened.
Wow. I just had the most amazing idea for a horror movie. A serial killer who's a hypnotist. Or a person who abducts people who's a hypnotist.
And like is able to brainwash them or refuel them enough where they don't remember anything.
Yeah.
That would be good. They're
like, if people ask you, you will break down.
So the next story is of James McGrogan. In 2014, the medical doctor went on a split snowboard trip in Vail, Colorado with his friends. So split snowboarding is similar to cross-country skiing, but they're smaller and like a little bit wider skis. And then you're able to fold up like into each other and then you split them apart and walk them, but you're otherwise able to carry them on your back.
Okay.
It so it's able to like hike and then you ski steps. Down where you can. It's a rich person thing. Like, you wouldn't get it. he was an avid outdoorsman and had a full GPS with him that was, like, a navigational system and able to, like, beacon out if he was in trouble. He was much faster and in better shape than all of his friends and said he would meet them on top of the trail because he was going to run ahead a little bit and, like, see you at the other side. So he kind of seems like an asshole.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he's like, don't worry, guys. I'm stronger than you. I'll take this.
Yeah, so the rest of his fat, lazy friends finished the trail a little while. The rest of the friends finished the trail a little while later but never saw any of his tracks and don't see him at any other stops or at the end of the trail.
Yeah.
5 days later, his body is found 4.5 miles away as the crow flies, but a 14-mile hike from the bottom of a frozen waterfall. This is the area where the search party had been over multiple times and even had a base camp set up as like a point of contact for the search. His body was found in a mangled and strained position. His skull was crushed, but he was still wearing his full ski outfit and helmet, but no boots on his feet or gloves on his hands. His phone and GPS were both with him and had full battery, and his cell phone even had service, but neither were ever used.
Weird.
It was all deemed an accidental death.
Oh, God, that's giving me a Dyatlov Pass vibes.
That one freaked me out a little bit, just like, ooh, like, because he didn't fall, or if he did fall, like, they would have seen his body earlier. But I think perhaps it was a mountain lion, but he would have been, like, eaten a little bit more. It's so easy to be like, oh, it's this, and then, like, wait, no. Like, reason yourself.
Yeah, because even this crushed skull, I'm like, okay, maybe he took his helmet off, got hit, put it back on, and tried to, like, continue on his skis or something like that again to, like, make quicker time or something. But I don't really know how functional you would be after your skull is crushed.
So the next couple are directly from the Missing 401 documentary. So the first one is, what did I say?
401.
Coming soon to a theater near you. People who go missing but are found pretty much right away.
Yeah.
What's the 401? It's not that big of a deal.
Missing 401. Okay, so James was like missing, but like not really.
I was just he like, just... he just like stopped texting me back. Like, yeah. I thought he ended up ghosting.
I thought it was a good first date, but.
So Dior Coons Jr. was 2 years old when he went missing. He was from Idaho Falls, Idaho. In 2015, he and his family were camping in the Sam and Callis National Forest at the remote Timber Creek campground. This was also near a creek, similar to a couple of the other stories that we were mentioning, where like it was by a body of waters and creeks. And the family that was with him included his father, Dior Sr., his mom, his grandfather, and their friend Jerry. They were sitting around the fire when the three of them, the parents and Jerry, decided to go down to the river and fish a little bit.
Who's this Jerry?
That is an excellent question, because we're going to get to who Jerry is. Go down to the creek for a little fishing, and then they say, Dior, do you want to come with? He goes, no, I'm going to stay here with Grandpa. So stays at the campfire with the grandfather. The three go down to the creek and then decide, like, oh, Dior should be down here with us because they catch a fish or something. Go back to the campsite and to go get Dior, the baby. And then the grandpa says, like, no, he's not here. I thought he was with you. And then, like, they never see the child again.
I don't like that.
So the search for the child begins. They never find the body. But and eventually the media blames the parents. The friends blame the parents. The family blames each other. And everybody pretty much blames Jerry, who Jerry is a convicted sex offender.
Fucking Jerry, I knew it.
If you see the documentary, you didn't need the chevron. Or, like, you didn't need to tell him he was a sex offender. Like, you just, like, let him talk and be like, yeah.
He's like, all I did was tell him there was some popsicles in the forest.
He was so scary looking. He was, yeah. Everybody thought it was at least one of them. And they're interviewing the mom at some point. They kind of go back to the area. And they just have this, like, emo girl, which I haven't used the word emo to describe someone so long. Is it really?
Yeah, my niece is saying it all the time now. She keeps being like, don't come near me, you emo. And like, I'm like, Jayla, emo was a compliment. In 2008, emo was fun. Emo was cool.
It was a lifestyle.
It was a trend. It was fashion.
But so like the mom was talking and this woman behind her was wearing a Young and Reckless t-shirt and had like pink hair that like went like flat on the top and out in like a square area. Like, so she was like a Despicable Me character.
She's a minion?
No, like one of the daughters. But like I was just like, why is she here? And like, and then she was just like gone all of a sudden. Like I was like clocked her and then she was gone. And I was like, why was she just appearing? But it made me think like, so this was probably 2015. Do you think in, like, 100 years, like, you know how now we say, like, oh, that old Victorian ghost was in the window? Are we now going to see, like, I saw the ghost of an emo girl with a Young and Reckless t-shirt on, like.
Yeah, and I heard Mayday Parade in the background. That's the classical music.
Yeah, like, time will change and the ghost will, oh, the ghost will just be more emo.
Yeah, digital ghost.
So, obviously, that child is never found. So the next one takes place at Crater Lake National Park with Samuel Bolke, who was 8 years old at the time. And Crater Lake is a erupted volcano, which is 2,000 feet deep. And I wrote fucking deep because that is so deep.
Yeah, because the lake that my parents' cabin is on is only like 35 feet deep. And that's
enough. Yeah. Alexa. How deep is Lake Superior?
Lake Superior is 483 feet deep on average, at its max depth it is 1,333 feet. So by the way, two Amazon packages...
Alexa, stop! don't tell people I order stuff on Amazon. Jeff Bezos is a bad guy. We're not supposed to order from that for some reason.
I was really hoping she would, like, go into detail about an embarrassing package.
I think I did order Halloween candy because it was, like, $8 for, like, 2 pounds. And I was like, that is a really good deal on Halloween candy.
Were you here for Halloween last year?
Yeah.
Do you get trick-or-treaters?
So I put a thing out for being COVID-friendly, and I think the squirrels ate them all.
We're going to be at a party, so I don't know if we're going to get any, and I'm kind of sad we're going to miss it.
Oh. Yeah, I think there will be more this year. I want to see them. It'd be really fun. What party are you going to?
My friend Renee has a Halloween party every year, and last year we won best Halloween costume. So cute. We're going to be a moth in a flame or a moth in a lamp this year.
Oh, I wanted to say this about the Dior case, too. So they were going through the documentary, and they like had like a picture of a Facebook comment, and it just struck me as like, in what state of mind would I be in to write this Facebook comment?
Is it Jerry? Like,
it's good. No.
No.
So just going through of like the media coverage, like what people were thinking about them at the time. But someone wrote, well, these people slaughtered their baby. Like,
oh my god.
I know. Like, it's just like, why would you write that on Facebook? Yeah. And it was like a probably like a news thing. So like if WCCO or like KSTP here in Minneapolis like had a, shared a post about a missing child, I'd be like, yeah, those people slaughtered their baby clear as day. Like, I go on this. Like, why would you write that?
Yeah, like, what are you adding?
Sorry. Yeah, exactly.
I was at a coffee shop this morning, and there was two guys that were just having coffee at a table or whatever. And one of them was like, oh, yeah, they still haven't found Brian Laundrie. And then the other guy was like, who's that? And he was like, oh, I don't know. He, like, killed his girlfriend in, like, the woods. You haven't been paying attention? The guy's like, yeah, I have no idea who that is. And I was, like, at the other table, like, kind of giving them a side eye. Like, what do you mean you don't fucking know who that is? Like, how do you not know that? Like, how disconnected are you from reality?
Have you not been on any social platform? We talked about it at work, like, a lot. Like, how have you not heard
of that? Yeah, even if you're not trying to follow it, you still kind of know just from somebody that you just have to have no friends for any of them to like not bring it up.
Yeah. So back to the really extremely deep Crater Lake, which freaks me out. Like things just, it has no business being that deep. So he was walking around with his family in the area and eventually got off the trail and was seen by a bicyclist who said that he had seen Sammy with a rock in his hand, was like in the stance about to throw it at the bicyclist, and the guy's like, yo, don't throw that rock at me. That's not an exact quote. I don't know if he talks as cool as I do. And then his family started being like, Sammy, come here. Like, what are you doing? And then Sammy disappears or like runs into the woods and is never seen again. A search party of 147 people searched for 2 days, which doesn't seem like that long of a time to be searching, but I don't think it's that huge of a
thing.
Like,
search parties really confuse me because I'm just like, oh, we're just going to trust these random volunteers to find a fucking body. Like, how many of them are, like, super paying attention? Because, you know, my dumb ass would be, like, live Instagramming the whole thing and, like, not paying attention very well.
Or just, like, out for a hike more so.
Yes. Light a cigarette.
Okay. I got through those.
Because that's how I felt when we were watching, or when I was watching you also. I'm like, you really trust Sherry to find the body?
So, my next one is Lillian Carney, who was 6 years old when she disappeared in Massardus, Maine, 15 miles west of the Canadian border on August 8th, 1897. Okay. Lillian and her family were berry picking when she vanished. The search for her lasted an hour when more townspeople came from and around the area joined. The next morning, 200 plus people were searching for her. On Tuesday, 300 people had joined into the search when she was found at around 10 a.m. alive. She came back and she told everyone, or like her, and they're like, what happened to you? And she goes, I'm okay. The sun shined all the time while I was in the woods. She had been missing for 46 hours.
Okay, this is the only one that I'm gonna call bullshit on because it was 1897 and people were literally like doing coke to cure cancer at the time. So,
or Ingalls Wilder, you don't believe her?
She was also picking berries. What kind of berries are these?
Or, like, I don't know, if they didn't have electricity yet and someone happened to have a light. And
do they have electricity then? Truly, I don't know.
Alexa, when did houses start having electricity?
According to an Alexa Answers contributor, the electrification of households in Europe and North America began in the early 20th century.
Which would have been 1900s.
Yeah.
That would have been 1900s, yeah.
1900s. So, yeah, they wouldn't have electricity, so someone could just brought her where they had, like, a light of some kind.
I'm really sorry, but this reminded me of how...
Barry, unbelievable.
Barry, unbelievable. When I was in the car today, though, I was listening to an audiobook, and they must have said something real fucked up that I don't really know, but out of nowhere, so I don't have Amazon or Alexa, but I have OK Google on my phone. And, whatever you say, OK Google, and it's the same thing as Siri. I'm just listening to this audiobook. All of a sudden, my Google Siri helper comes on, and it goes, and it's like, you want to hear me beatbox? Okay. And it's like, and then just goes right back to the audiobook. And
I mean, what the fuck just happened? That's honestly how, every time I've been beatbox too, that's how it happens. Hey, you want me to beatbox? No? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I think my Google is like sentient because it always responds without anybody saying, okay, Google, and it always fucking says some real nonsense. Like, it's not anywhere near what was just said. And it always happens when I'm playing podcasts.
So have you read about the Death Valley Germans at all?
No, but I also been there.
Ooh, is it cool?
Yeah, I had third-degree sunburns in my ears. No, Death Valley is in Nevada.
Oh, Nevada.
Yeah, no, I went there. I went to the tallest point in contiguous America, which is Mount Whitney in California. Didn't put sunscreen on the top of my ears. Ooh. And they got, it wasn't third-degree sunburn, it was second-degree sunburn. Doesn't happen right away. So then we went to the lowest point in America, which is Death Valley. And by the time we got there, my ears were throbbing. And I was like, I feel like this isn't normal. And my teacher was like, let me see. And they took a picture of my ear. And it was, the top of my ear was pure water. Like, I had blisters all over the tops of my ears. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's going to hurt. My teacher was like that. And I was like, oh, thank you. I'm not aware at all of my ears throbbing. And, yeah, we went to Death Valley in, like, 100-degree weather. My ears were water. And
well, I feel like you can't come down from the highest point to go to the lowest point and be okay.
I mean, it takes a while. It takes, like, a day and a half at least. Well, we hiked back and then we drove, so it takes a while. Yeah. Even driving, it takes a while.
Still not good for your bod.
But we actually ran into the – we were driving past this woman on the way to Death Valley. And she was running on the paint of the side of the road, like, you know, like the lines on the side of the road. And we were like, oh my gosh, that lady looks like she's going to die any minute. Like, what the fuck? And then we went to the lowest point, like actual lowest point, which has like a marker and everything. And we were hanging out there and she shows up and she's like gassed as fuck, obviously, because she was just running in Death Valley. And she just broke the world record for running from the lowest point in America to the tallest and back. So she did the same thing that we did, but she didn't take no car. Like, she literally ran the whole thing. She had to change her shoes and everything, like, multiple times because they would, like, melt on the pavement. Or, like, when you're up in the mountains, they get, like, roughed up. So she had to change her shoes multiple times. They had a van following her. And then when she went up on the mountain, they had people following her to make sure she was safe.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, we saw her, like, right when she finished.
How old was she?
Fucking old, dude.
Love that.
Dude, at the time, she was old. Well, she's not listening, but, like, she was pretty old. Her name's Mimi Anderson.
It's awesome that you still remember her name.
We're friends on Facebook. So that's her now.
Oh, she's beautiful.
But that would have been, that probably was then.
She looks like the Rebecca from Ted Lasso.
So, I think this was it. No, that would have been.
God, I don't want to run with her, but I'd love to hang out with her.
Yeah, either way. So we instantly took pictures with her about 10 minutes after she finished this. Not really like our 17-year-old minds were
understanding. I need to go to the bathroom. I need to eat. Yeah, I need to die for a few days.
Literally ran for days. And we were just like, take a picture. She held up like a Britain flag and everything. It was really fucking cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this is it right here. So cool. We were, like, right on the other side of the sign. I have pictures on my Facebook of it.
That's awesome. You witnessed a piece of history.
Yeah, I know. And I felt really bad because we drove past her and we were like, wow, this fucking bitch looks like
this bitch is dying. How out of shape is she?
And I'm like, wow, I couldn't even run from where we saw her to where we, like, saw her finish.
Why we were talking about Death Valley is because of the German family who went missing in July 1996. So four Germans were traveling around the Death Valley, Nevada area, and they disappeared. Egbert Rimkus, which I just have to stop real quick. Do you look at a baby and be like, oh, love of my life, fruit of my loins, Egbert. Like, why would you name a child? Like, that's just such an interesting name. I think about that whenever I see the actress Glenn Close. Like, someone, like, a human thought, like, looked at their baby and like, ah, beautiful baby girl. I'll call you Glenn. Like, yeah. It's kind of a cute name, but, like, interesting, interesting choice.
People definitely name their babies crazy things before cyberbullying existed.
So Egbert was 34 years old. He was traveling with his girlfriend Cornelia, aka Connie Meyer, who was 28 years old. Egbert's son George Weber was 11 years old, and Cornelia also had a son they were traveling with named Max, who was 4 years old. So an 11-year-old and a 4-year-old with two adults. Their van was found 3 months after they had entered the park in July. In a remote location inside of Death Valley, and an extensive search only yielded what was in the van already and a bottle of beer that had made it a mile and a half away from the van. Otherwise, there were absolutely no evidence or bodies found from these people ever again.
Well, the beer could possibly not have been theirs, right?
It was a German beer. So in the van, they had like different personal items, all of their luggage, a lot of their like purses and wallets, and a German guidebook, which had been purchased, and they were able to track like when they entered the park based on like when they pick up the guidebooks, like a day or two before they like, entered the park and like uh-huh. signed in that they were going into the backcountry.
Yeah. I don't understand how that stuff happens, because I've done backcountry hiking twice, and you run into people still.
Oh, I know.
Like...
They were, like, deep into the backcountry of Death Valley, where, like, you're not supposed to take anything but, like, the four-wheelers and off-road vehicles. And they were in a, like, blue Dodge Caravan from the 90s. You know them. You love them. You've been in them.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my parents had one.
Yeah. Which is, like, absolutely, there's, like, they were saying that there's, like, absolutely no way that that van would have made that drive. And it didn't look like it had made
They're
that
like,
drive.
They're, like, this doesn't like it had pass been out- the multidimensional safety test. Toyota or Dodge tested this, and it only makes it through
Dodge
the first
Ram.
Dimension.
We got Hemi, but no multidimensional shit. We don't mess with
multi-dimensional
that.
Airbags.
But like they had said that like the van had not looked like it had been like off-roading at all, but it looked like it had been sitting there for the 4 months because it was found in October and they had gotten into the park in July.
Damn.
So before they got in the park back in July when they were still at the hotels, there were correspondence and like witnesses that were saying that Egbert was looking for money from his ex-wife and his son's mom, saying like, can you wire us a couple $1,000 so we can finish our trip, and then talking to someone else in Germany trying to get them to wire a bunch of money, but they never did, and then they completely went missing. So there's some theories that they had disappeared and started a new life trying to get away from like whatever debts that he was like clearly trying to get money for, or died because of from the exposure or something else, because the temperatures in Death Valley during July range from 91 degrees Fahrenheit to 104 degrees Fahrenheit in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And that was back in the 90s before any global warming, so I'm sure it's even hotter now.
Oh, it'll get up to like 121, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It is so hot.
Yeah, it gets pretty bad. That's why it's called Death Valley. I have a new lease on this.
Yeah, what's your theory on this one?
Oh, it's not a theory. I was just thinking about how they couldn't find a van for 3 months, but then I remember that my own boyfriend Kyle couldn't even find his passport in a 1500 square foot house for 3 months.
I
so
think about
it's valid.
That's like I lose my cat for long periods of time, and I'm like, I don't know where my cat went in my tiny like 900 square foot house without the including my scary basement. Like, I could totally see where in a giant, like, million-acre park you would lose someone.
Yeah, like, is it that hard? And then you'd, like, put it to scale, and you're like, all right, it's just a really big house. And you're like, oh, okay. It's a big house, and their car's a passport. Okay.
Like, you go hiking, like, 20 miles between, like, Lutzen and Grimm, where you're like, oh, you can't get lost. But, like, no, you can get extremely lost in this
very
area.
Lost, and I will, even with GPS. Yeah, you also have to remember that, too. Like, we truly, people did not have that shit. And I remember maps questing stuff in high school.
Yeah. So, that was kind of my last 411 case. But David Paulides, I think that's right, had reached out to the National Park Service kind of saying, like, can you give me for my research like a database or like a cert, like a
yes,
a list of every missing person or like every person that's gone missing in the national park? And they're like, oh, no such list exists. And for us to create one and hire people to do it, it would take 3 years and $1.4 million.
Yes. So to just piggybacking off of that,
Sean, take in the spirit of partnership, yeah. Why don't you take it away here?
Yeah. Circling back to Buddy's comment. So the Amy Bechtel case that I listened to, the Wyoming one, the guy that wrote the book that I was listening to, he actually teamed up with this David guy to create a figure of how many people were missing because the government wouldn't do it and because there was no database. And it gets a little complicated because it's hard to like consider like if somebody goes missing, they're from New York, like does it count as like what, like it's whatever, this weird thing. But they came up with a figure of, I believe, 1600 in a 10-year span or something like that, or maybe 40-year span.
Yep. That's exactly the number I wrote down. It's estimated 1600 people have gone missing in national parks.
Yeah, it's 1600. But the guy from the book that I read said he teamed up with this David guy, and he said that that is a very conservative number. Like, super conservative. That. He's like, I would not doubt it if it was a lot more. That's just, like, the stuff that they could, like, reasonably prove.
Yeah. Damn.
So it's probably way more.
All right, so we've gone all around the United States. Oh, and one more point I actually wanted to make about the national park system is they're all technically, like, agents of the federal government, but they're considered sovereign nations and sovereign states, so they have their own laws and own jurisdiction and basically own government for the system.
Yeah.
So, like, they're under absolutely no laws or any sort of thing to have to talk to any other police or, like, any other jurisdictions. Like, they have every piece of the law, so there's no reason for them to reach out and get more help. Amelia Linkert was 70 years old, and she was hiking the Craters of the Moon National Monument in Arco, Idaho.
What a name.
Craters of the Moon. She grew up and lived in Rosemont, Minnesota, and was a Minneapolis School District special education teacher. You looked like you really had something to say.
I just have a friend from Rosemont. I was going to say it, and then I was like, nobody's going to care.
Good thought. So after many years in the school district system, in 2008, she decided to move to Idaho after a retirement gift and, like, retirement purchase of a camper. She decided to go exploring. She had met a friend along the way, Dr. Jodine Elliott Blakeslee, who was 63 at the time, and the two of them would go on many hikes together with their dogs.
What do you mean they met a friend along the way? This is, like, hitchhiker vibes. What does that mean?
They're camper people. Like, they're old ladies who go camping all the time. We met a lady when we were in Colorado.
Yeah, but did she come? Is she here now? No. Like, what? No,
but, like, they were along the same way, so they're like, oh, let's go hiking. So they go hiking, or, like, they seemingly go hiking over in the Craters of the Moon National Monument. They go hiking on Thursday afternoon, and they are declared missing on Tuesday. Their bodies are found later on Tuesday. So after a few days of searching, the body of Linkert is found, even though they actually think it was Jodine's body that they had found, but it ended up being, after dental records, Linkert's, but it was clearly had died of exposure. And they were able to see that she was clearly super dehydrated and had also suffered from hypothermia during the cold nights because it had gone below freezing in September. That body was found in September and she was declared dead. And then Jodine was not found until October. But her body was found 2.5 miles from the parking lot on trailhead, somewhere they had searched many times but never found the body.
Yeah, literally, how's that possible? 2 miles is not that
far. And this wasn't really a missing 401. I just kind of found it on, like, missing people. Yeah. But, like I was like, oh, Minnesota, I'm going to say this one. But I found it very interesting that she was found so close to the trailhead.
Yeah, that's sus as fuck.
And their bodies were both found with only t-shirt and jeans on, despite it, like, it being a pretty significant hike and both of them being, like, avid outdoorsmen. Mm-hmm. So, like, they obviously would have had, and their park, they had driven together, and their car had both of their dogs inside, their keys, their wallet, their phone. Oh, my
God, are the dogs dead?
No, the dogs were okay, because they were found, like, a day or two later. And I think that's why they had figured out, like, they were missing, like, too late. Like, the dogs had been there a few days.
Well, that's fine.
Police ruled there was no foul play, and that, like, the old days had just died of exposure. So those are my missing 401 cases. Like I said, the David author, he never gives, like, a what happened, but my theories are mountain lions, Bigfoot, parallel universes, people to parents.
In that order?
Not in this order. You know, the usual stuff.
I'd say
aliens, feral people.
Too much was covered. I can't make an order.
Yeah, so digest a little bit. Read on your own. You can read for, like, listen to hours and hours and hours of this stuff like I have. And you'll come to your own conclusions. But yeah, it's all wild and a little bit vile. This has been the Wild and Vile Case File Files.